Praise God. Well, we're not going to quite talk about that this evening, but the things I want to share tonight are just to kind of stir us up and prod us into moving into the where we need to be, and I'm speaking to me as well. Woody began to share on Wednesday evening and was talking about the shift that has come in the time frame of God and what God's doing, and even if we can't see the fruit of it maybe right in our particular location, there's been a shift. And you know, are you in a place where you can see the shift? You know, have you positioned yourself for this shift? Well, it was curious that he even said that, because I'd already started working on my message, and I wanted to talk tonight about, have you made the shift? And there's already a shift that took place a long time ago that we have begun to participate in our new birth. And there was a shift that happened there. And a lot of times, we can get born again, and I'm not negating the fact that we're born again, but from our perspective in this realm, we didn't make the shift with our spirit man. Our spirit got moved and got remade and made alive and put in a new place with Jesus, a new place with God and in the kingdom of God. But the rest of us, our head and our actions, haven't made the shift. We didn't go along with where our spirit went. So I want to just take a look at some things this evening. I got a lot of scriptures, so you know, you can turn to all of them or every other one or something if it gets to be too many at once. But first one is Colossians chapter 1. And these are all just talking about this shift and telling us what that shift was. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That is the shift that took place when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You made a shift. Your spirit man did. He translated us, or conveyed us, or transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness, which is what rules this world, and transferred us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son of His love, God's rule and reign. And like I said, a lot of times we don't go along with the shift. Our spirit did, and when you die and you separate from your body, your spirit goes and stays in the kingdom of God where it was already shifted to when you got born again. So it's already there. But a lot of times our life here doesn't make the shift with our spirit. And we don't develop like we should. We don't get to enjoy what this kingdom has available for us because we're stuck in this realm. And we need to shift out of that realm. In John chapter 3, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, and he was telling Nicodemus that you've got to be born again before you can even see the kingdom. You've got to be changed. There's got to be a shift. You've got to be born again before you can even see the kingdom. And you've got to be born of water and the Spirit, which is the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to even enter the kingdom of God. There's got to be a shift. Well, praise God, you know, all of us here tonight, we've made that shift. We're born again. We've made that shift. But we need to start operating and seeing ourselves from the kingdom of God standpoint instead of seeing ourselves living here in the earth as just, quote, born again or saved. So we need to help make that shift. In 1 Peter 2, 9, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but it's a familiar scripture, but it tells us, says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you will proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a royal priesthood. We are a kingdom, a nation of kings and priests. We have a dual role in life. Every Christian does. It isn't just for pastors and evangelists and maybe some prophets. Every born-again believer is a king. Jesus is King of Kings. He is our King, and we are kings under His kingship and Lord of Lords. We are kings and priests. We've kind of got the priest thing down. Priests go to God on behalf of others. They speak to God. I mean, you know, we'll do that. We pray. We'll pray for other people. You know, we do the priestly thing. We'll praise God and do that kind of stuff. But we got to begin to work in the kingly thing, because part of that shift into the kingdom of God is we became royalty. We became kings in the kingdom of God. And we need to begin to function in that capacity. And in not only in that realm, but in the capacity as a king. So we are a king. Romans 5:17. This is just another verse to establish this point of who we are. Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, which that's Adam's sin, caused everybody to be dead. Life left, and everybody was born spiritually dead from that point on. Death reigned through that. But much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, which is what we received when Jesus was made our Lord and Savior, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. There's that word reign. That is a royal term. We are kings in this life. We are to rule and reign in life through Jesus Christ. And a lot of times, we just want to try to be good. We want to try to do the right things, you know, and be nice people, but we don't reign. We don't rule. We just try to behave good. And good behavior is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we are to rule. Now, if you've been coming to Bible study on Wednesday nights, we maybe haven't actually covered this actual verse, but we're going to get to it eventually, probably, maybe in 6 or 8 weeks, who knows, out of Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6, says, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, there was a shift that was made. We were shifted from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we were shifted from just this realm. It's a marvelous thing. We can not only live here in this realm, in these bodies, and function here on the planet, but at the same time, we can live in the kingdom of God realm. And a lot of times when we think of heavenly places, we think of heaven, and it's up there somewhere. But heaven is up there, but heaven's out here. Heaven is in the spirit realm, and the spirit realm is right out here. You just can't feel it or touch it or see it or anything, but heaven is out here. Now, there is a, quote, physical place of heaven, but the spirit realm. We have been raised up into heavenly places in Jesus. In that spirit realm, we've been raised up to rule and reign with Him. He's seated at the right hand of God, and we've been raised up to sit with Him and to rule and reign. Jesus is the Lord. He's the one that establishes all the rules and the patterns and the plans and the purposes and everything, but He tells us so that we can release them here in the earth, because we are the ones that have the authority. That's why Jesus became a man. That's why he came in the flesh, because God didn't have legal right, because He had put man in charge of this place, of this planet, of this realm. He put Adam in charge. He says, let's make man in our image and in our likeness and give them dominion. Gordon referred to that this morning. We have dominion over this earth, over the animals and the plants and the trees and the weather and everything. We have dominion. But then when Adam sinned, that got all messed up. But Jesus came to restore that. But he had to come back as a man to do what he did, because man is the one that's in charge here. And you know, a lot of people say, well, if God is God, he's not doing a very good job, because just look at all this stuff. Well, God is God, but God delegated to man, so man's not doing a very good job. That's why we're messed up, because we haven't been doing a very good job, because we haven't wanted to rule and reign. I mean, maybe in the natural realm, we've wanted to boss people around and tell people what to do and have power here, but we haven't wanted to rule and reign on behalf of Jesus and on behalf of God and his plans and purposes. So we've just sort of taken whatever comes and whatever happens and just roll with the punches. And, you know, if you recover, praise God. If you don't, well, that's life, you know. And we don't do anything to rule and reign. So this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to shift into this place. Spiritually, we're already there, but we've got to make the shift. And what we've been studying in Sunday school is the key to this. Have you shifted in your mind and in your soul? Your spirit man shifted. When you got born again, you shifted. Because no matter what happens to you on this earth, your spirit man is a part of the spirit realm. Even though you're encased in this body, you're already part of the spirit realm. You're already part of the kingdom of God. And if for some reason something happens to your body and your body falls off and your spirit's got to come out of it, you're already in the kingdom of God. You're still in that spirit realm. So you're already there. But we've got to shift in our soul, in our mind. We've got to make that same shift so we can get lined up, so we can be cohesive as a unit, as a spirit, soul, and body that God has made us. We can be one. We can be holy. We can have integrity in our being. And as we've learned in Sunday school, shifting in behavior comes from a shifting in how you think. And one of the first things that, you know, we have it out there on the board that we began to study was thoughts are the first thing you get information, and it, you know, it's thoughts in your mind. The thoughts trigger emotions. The emotions develop, and this leads to attitude. Your attitude is just all the different thoughts that you have in your mind of how you think about things, what you think about life, what you think about God, what you think about your job, your kids, your dog, whatever. All those put together, what you think about church, all of those thoughts, all the way you think together combined is your attitude. It's just your attitude towards life. And everybody knows people that have good attitudes. Everybody knows people with bad ones. But you have thoughts that lead to emotions that develop an attitude, and that attitude controls your behavior. If you, say for instance at work, if you don't have any respect for your superiors, if you think they're a bunch of bozos and they don't really know what they're doing, you know, maybe they're book smart and don't have a clue as to how to do the actual work that gets done in a factory or something, which, you know, can happen sometimes. You know, that's a reality. But if you have a bad attitude towards them, you've had bad thoughts, you know, you think they're stupid, they're always demanding things, they don't pay you enough, they don't respect you for what you do, you know, you can have all this stuff, you create this attitude. Well, that attitude then will affect how you behave on your job. It'll affect whether you do your work well, whether you do more than what's expected, or whether you just do barely enough to get by, or whether you go hide somewhere and sit and do nothing all day long. And we've all heard stories about that happens in factories where people, you know, they punch the clock and they go in and they go hide behind some machine or something and sit and read a book all day or take a nap all day and then clock back out at the end of the day. You know, they have to push a button once or twice and that's it. So all of that attitude, all those thoughts and everything control our behavior. So we've got to shift in our mind and in our soul to where our spirit man already is and to what God has said about us and what we're supposed to be doing. We have to shift up here so that we can get all this in sync and we can begin to rule and reign in our life and not just bump from one day to the next and whatever happens on that day. We can begin to control things. Let's go to Romans 12:2. If you've been in Sunday school, you know this verse. We've been on this for a long time and are going to stay on it for a long time. But this is what we're dealing with. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world." Another way you can say that is make the shift. Leave the things of this world. Leave the way this world functions as far as its attitudes and ideas and purposes and plans. Leave that. Don't be conformed to that, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've talked about this is beginning to think like God. God says, these are my thoughts. I've sent you my word. This is how I think. This is what I think about sin. This is what I think about other things. This is what I think about, food. This is what I think about animals. This is what I think about people. This is what I think about how you should work on your job. This is what I think about how you should treat your wife or your kids or your husband or your boss or your servants. Anything and everything is in this book about how to function. God says, these are my thoughts. Now you take those and you plant them in your mind and you take them as your own and you let them grow and develop so that you think like me. And when we do that, it transforms us. It brings that place where our spirit man is, the spiritual realm and the things of the kingdom of God, it brings it into manifestation in our natural life. And our life can be transformed. We can begin to live like Jesus. And it says that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we've talked a little bit about that's not three different wills. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. It just takes lots of words to describe it because it's just so right. It's just so good. And we can prove that. We can begin to live how God's will is, how he thinks. We can begin to live in the blessings that he says we can have in this life. You know, this morning I shared out of Isaiah, God says, I haven't told Israel to ask for anything that I'm not already planning to give them. You know, he says, I've already got this life for you, but you can actually get it into place. That's kind of what Woody was talking about, making that shift, positioning yourself so that you can enjoy what is rightfully ours. Praise God, that's a good thing. And in Philippians 2:5, we've talked about this in Sunday school. You're getting a lot of Sunday school review. But Philippians 2:5 tells us to let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. That means you have got to choose to let the attitude and the thoughts of Jesus or God, whichever however you want to state it. You've got to choose to let that become a part of the way you think. You have got to choose that I am going to think this way. I'm going to think like Jesus thinks. I'm going to think like God thinks. I'm going to look at things the way God looks at them. I'm going to see them the way he sees them. I'm going to respond to them the way he wants me to respond to them and not like I want to respond to them. Because there's times when we see a situation and we want to punch somebody's lights out. And God, doesn't necessarily want to do that. He wants to help them. He wants to say something or do something that will get their attention to draw them to him so that they can change and not need their lights punched out. But it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And here's some of the key of what we've got to begin to shift in our mind. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Now, we are never going to be God. A lot of times people want to accuse us of saying that. We're not going to be God. God will always be God. But we are like little gods under God. It's like Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the big king. We're little kings. He just has all these places that need rule and reign, and he's very orderly. He likes order in his society, so he puts a king in every little spot. So every person that's his is a king. So everywhere there's a believer, he's got somebody that can take command of that little realm, whether it's a little bitty realm or whether it's a great big realm, whatever their responsibility is, but he's got somebody that can take charge. That's who we're like, because we're created in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. We've been made just like Jesus. We've been given the life of God. We've been made the righteousness of God. So that is who we are. And this says, let this mind be in you. We have got to allow that thinking to come in and overtake our thinking. Instead of seeing ourselves the way we see ourselves, with limitations, as failures, with lack, as not having the answers, not knowing what to do, we've got to be willing to give up those ideas and to give up those thoughts and accept the fact that we can have the same mind as God, because we're made in His image. We're made of the same stuff that Jesus was made of. And He has given us the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. That's God Himself, God's actual power, to work through us. We don't even have to rely on our own ability to carry this out. He's given us His ability. He's given us all that we need to live in life and godliness, to rule and reign. So we've got to let this mind be in us. And in verse 12, just below there, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. I believe that verse is part of letting this mind be in you. You've got to work out your salvation. You have got to work this through. You have got to allow yourself to be changed. You've got to make the shift in your thinking. You've got to allow the thoughts of God, the mind of Christ, to come into you and to begin to change you. And you've got to meditate on the Word and get wisdom and understanding out of it. I mean, we can read, and there's a lot of things we can understand just by, it's like, thou shalt not kill is not tough. That is just not hard to understand. But as we meditate on it, we can learn more about it. We can get wisdom and understanding about it. We can know not to do it, but we can gain even more understanding. And we can let all this be in us, and it'll cause our salvation to be worked out so that our salvation can actually begin to be seen in our life. And it isn't just this thing of where you get to go to heaven when you die, because actually going to heaven when you die does not let anybody see salvation. It doesn't let anybody see the goodness of God. All they can do is, when they're looking at you in the casket, is hope that what is said is true, that that's where you are. If they don't know, if they don't know Jesus, if they don't have this same life in them, if, you know, all they can do is, you know, well, I hope he's with God, you know, or they can want to believe that and not even have any confidence, but want to believe that because they don't want to think anything else. But we can have our salvation worked out where we can actually begin to see this thing, see this life of God, see this authority of God. I want to share a few quotes this evening out of Bill Winston's book, Transform Your Thinking, Transform Your Life. He just shares some things about this, about our royalty and about how we think and being changed. It says, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. This is what we've been talking about. Dwelling in a place where everything happens by faith in God and His Word. See, that's one of the things that has to change in us, because we have to learn to operate by faith, because we don't see those things in this realm. Faith is confidence in the unseen and the power to bring it into this realm. It says, the kingdom of God operates on believing. What is impossible to the natural man and woman is possible to the spiritual man and woman who believe in God and His Word. Praise God. That's some of the benefits of the kingdom. We've changed. We've shifted. We're in a different realm now. We're in a different kingdom now. And things are possible to us that were not possible to us before because of what God has done for us. And we can begin to see those things come into being through faith in Jesus and through operating faith in His Word. He says, we must live as citizens of heaven and kings of earth. We must live in the supernatural, miracle power of God to survive. We must rely on His grace and love as we choose to believe, confess, and act upon His word. And we must learn to walk in the Spirit. Our lives become all about Him and His ability instead of us and our ability. Because we're learning to think. We're shifting into another way of living where we're not limited by this realm. And healing is such a good example because it's tangible. You know, it's something we can see and deal with. But in the natural realm, say if something happens to you or you get a disease that we don't have any medicines or cures or treatments for, then you're stuck in the impossible realm of this realm. You're just stuck. There's no hope because it's impossible. It's a disease. You know, we've got diseases out there that they don't even know where they came from, let alone how to fix them. It's just, and they have these strange names, you know, you never heard of, but people end up with these conditions and they're trapped because they're limited by this realm. They're limited living here. But we've shifted. We've shifted over into the kingdom of God. If we're born again, we've shifted into God's kingdom and God's realm, where now healing is possible because we have the power of God. And the blood of Jesus has made it available to us. We don't need a medicine. And it doesn't mean that medicine's bad or that doctors are bad, but if it's something that they can't do anything about, you don't need a doctor or medicine because you've got Jesus. You're living in another realm, and you have authority to take control of things in this realm. You have authority to talk to your body and tell your body that, body, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus shed His blood for you, so you have to get well because you're healed. You're taking authority. You are taking what is real in the heavenly realm, and by your authority in Jesus, releasing it in this realm. You're being king over your life under the lordship of Jesus, but you're taking authority. You're not letting sickness and disease run your life. You're not letting sickness and disease cut your life short before you've accomplished everything that God wants you to do, because you're in another realm. You've got, it's possible now. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him that believes. We have got such a potential and a realm that we can begin to operate in and change these things. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, without a vision, people perish. You cannot go where you cannot see. It's sort of like when Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you know, you got to be born again to even see the kingdom of God. Well, if you can't see, you can't go there. If it's dark and you can't see, you don't know how to get to where you want to go if there's no light. You can stumble around, but anything could happen to you. You could fall in a hole. You could, you know, fall on a spike. I mean, you know, you could trip. You could, you know, get caught in poison. You know, if it's dark, you don't know. You could have an animal sneak up behind you and attack you and kill you because you can't see. You're in darkness. But you need to be in the light. And we have been transferred into the kingdom of light. But we've got to shift up here in how we think and what we see. And we got to get this in our heart and up here and follow God so that we can see by His word and by His spirit, that we can see what other people can't see, so that we can rule and reign and function. We need to see God's plan for our life. We need to see what He wants for us. And if you don't see it, you don't get it. And unfortunately, way too many Christians don't see. The only thing they see is they get to go to heaven when they die. And praise God, we get to go to heaven when we die. That's wonderful. We get to be with Jesus forever. But there's a lot of things that we need to see that we could be ruling and reigning now. We could be developing our king responsibilities now. We could be enforcing the will of God now in our life, in our family, in our sphere of influence, whatever area we have influence over. We could begin to change things and have God's will begin to come to pass. And Jesus told the disciples this when he taught them how to pray. When they said, you know, Jesus, teach us how to pray, because they saw him praying all the time. And he said, pray like this, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Everything in heaven is orderly. There's no sickness, no disease. There's no lack. There's peace. There's joy. There's understanding. All these wonderful things. Jesus says, pray that to get that here on the earth. Now, sometimes when we talk about that, people think that we're just going to totally make it happen without the end times things finally taking place. God's going to finish things up. God has some things that he's going to finish up on the earth. So we're not going to bring the kingdom of God and there not have to be any tribulation or, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we can bring the kingdom of God into manifestation here in this life. Jesus says, that's what, pray for God's, pray for that will to come, you know. Begin to operate in these things so God's will can come in your life, in your family, in your job, in your church, in your community. We can affect these things. Praise God. And as we look at being able to see and see the kingdom of God, again, another quote from the book. It says, we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. And that, you know, because we are so fleshly oriented, we don't think about it because, you know, if anybody, well, how do you see? Well, with my eyes. But it's not, your eyes only let stuff in. It's you just see through them. They don't make you see. They just let information in, and the information goes up here that God can work with. It says, we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. Our minds, what we believe, determine what we actually see. It is what we perceive to be true that becomes the reality of our lives. It is what you believe you see that you see. There is so much in that. What you believe will set your boundaries and limitations in life. Those boundaries and limitations will either be set by God's word and his spirit or by all of the enemies in the world's influences. We can either think the thoughts of God and see things the way God sees them, or we can see them the way they just look, just by looking, by the way the devil's made stuff, mess things up. Your belief system also attracts and repels. If you're full of faith in God and his word, you will attract those who also are full of faith in God and his word and those who want to be. Praise God. If you believe God is for you, that he loves you, that he values and respects you, and that he is a father who always has your best interest at heart, then you'll walk in his love and favor, because that's what you believe about God. It says, on the other hand, if you believe God is your judge and jury, always scrutinizing your every thought, word, and deed, waiting for you to sin or to make a mistake, and making you sick to teach you something, chances are you'll walk in fear, condemnation, and judgmentalism, because that's how you see God. He's the one up there with the big hammer, just the big club waiting to clonk you over the head when you foul up. Waiting to judge you, waiting to just punish you for something, waiting to find fault in you. You see in yourself and the world around you what you believe God sees in you. The core of your belief system has to do with who you believe God is and how God sees you. That's how we function. And we have got to get to the point where we function according to the Word of God. And according to the king, we have got to make the shift. We've got to shift our thinking over into God's realm and how God thinks and how God sees things. Because God's got the answers. I mean, we can look in the natural realm and see a lot of things that are going on. I mean, maybe you've got bills that need paid. Maybe you got sickness in your body that needs fixed. Maybe you got trouble in your relationships and stuff, or maybe trouble at work, and you need to find out how to get that. God's got the answers. But if you look around at what's here and just the natural realm, and we don't shift over into the way of God's thinking and what God has available, there's no answers. And just look at what's going on in the financial realm for the people that have lost jobs, lost all their retirement monies, you know, with all the economy and everything that's going on. Now, even as we sit here, maybe we're okay, you know, maybe we're doing all right. But we can look at that situation out there just for the country itself, and it doesn't matter who gets to be president. It's just like, there's no way they can fix this. We've printed so much money that doesn't have anything to back it up. It's going to collapse eventually. It's happening in other places. I mean, they're just giving up. They're running out. And we can look at that. There's just no way. It can't be fixed. And we're stuck. But in God's kingdom, He's got answers. He's got ways to fix it. He has supply. Maybe you're in a situation where you don't have the actual cash, but you can have your needs met. You can have your needs met whether you got money or not, because God will meet them. God will take it. God's got ways. God can, just in the Bible, when we learn these things, He sent birds with food to feed people. I mean, Jesus prayed over a couple of loaves and fish and fed 10,000 people with them. I mean, just because there was just this little dab, and they had leftovers. There was gobs left over, baskets full. There's no limitation with God. But if we don't see, if we don't shift our thinking over into God's way, God's word, God's kingdom, who we are in Him, who He sees us as, what His will is, if we don't shift over to that, there's just no answers. There's just, you know, we're just left. We're left and in trouble. Bill Winston says, a king's mentality is triumph in all situations. Kings are designed by God to defeat the enemy, conquer the land, and rule and reign in His authority, wisdom, and compassion. That's who we are. We have been made kings unto God. We've been made kings and priests in the kingdom of God. We have been made to rule and reign with Jesus. So we've been designed by God to defeat the enemy, to conquer the land. Bible tells us He always causes us to triumph in Jesus. He leads us in triumph. We are more than conquerors. But if we don't get that in here and begin to see ourselves that way, when we meet up with a problem that's bigger than our little brain can figure out how to fix, there's nothing left but defeat. And He doesn't want that for us. He wants us to rule and reign like Him. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14, Paul says it this way. He says, He wants to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Paul says, I want to be righteous in God. I don't want my own because I've just behaved so good, because that righteousness can't save you. But the righteousness of God that He gives us through faith in Jesus saves us and changes us. And he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, man, that's what I want. I want the righteousness of God in Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to walk in His power. I want to rule and reign with Jesus. I want to function like He's made me to function. And I'm going to press on. I'm just going to forget what's past. I forget yesterday and move on. I'm just going to keep on feeding on the Word of God, filling my mind and thinking like Jesus, I'm going to keep moving forward and pressing toward that goal of the prize for the upward call. The spirit realm is up. We like to think of up in the natural realm. But the spiritual realm is a higher realm. But it doesn't have to be up here. It can still be out here, but it's up because it's a higher level of living, a higher level of authority, a higher level of being. It's on a better scale. It's not altitude, it's quality. It's life. That upward call, that's where God is calling us. And Jesus said, to the disciples, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And tonight I just want to ask us, are we willing, and I'm asking me too, are we willing to shift our thinking to God's kingdom and purpose? Because it takes work. It doesn't just happen. It won't just fall on us. We have got to decide we are going to shift our way of thinking. Because we know how to think for the broken realm of this realm. We know how to think. We know how to think wrong. We know how to think, all fouled up. But are we willing to learn to think like God and to see things from His perspective? Will we step up to God's reality and let our lives be transformed? I mean, we most believers live in a certain level of transformation. I mean, just getting born again, sometimes you can actually see the change on a person's face instantly. Because sometimes they'll be shadowy and dark. If they've lived a horrible life of sin and distress, and not that they were just such evil sinners, but they've had a lot of sin and death things happen to them just living here. A lot of bad things happen. Lived a hard life. And there's just this darkness on them. And they come to Jesus and their face lights up. It's like when you open a present and it's something you really wanted. And you open it up and it's like, oh, neat. Your face lights up. Well, people's face lights up when they get born again. So there's an element of transformation even in this realm at that initial stage. And a lot of people, they begin to learn about Jesus. They begin to live a different way. And life changes. Life gets better. I mean, they've even proven it with studies and all this kind of stuff, that when people give their lives to the Lord, their life improves. Praise God. That's what God wants. Their life improves. But our life could improve in much greater measure, and not just improve in stuff. I don't mean it just, you can live in a bigger house and drive more cars and have more things and wear nicer clothes. That's all great. You can have all that. That's good. But it's not limited to that. It's your quality of life. It's who you are as a person. It's what you have in understanding and wisdom when situations come up. You can have the most beautiful house, great cars, all the stuff, nice clothes, everything's wonderful. You can have everything physically wonderful, and when somebody comes home from work with bad news, or the kids come home from school with a problem, or a disease pops up in your life that they don't have an answer for. Well, all the great stuff and the good quality of life in the natural realm, that's all wonderful, and that can make things a little more bearable, but you still need the answer for the problem. You still need the answer. And that's the transformation that we can have. That when the devil comes to try to foul up your life, you can walk in authority. You're not afraid of him. And when he starts causing things to go bump in the night, instead of being afraid and hiding and shriveling away, you can stand up and boldly say, you get out of here. In Jesus' name, you don't have any right in this place. You get out. Don't you dare torment my family. Don't you dare come in here and mess around with my stuff. You can take authority over it. You can rule and reign as a king and have your life transformed. And that's what God's calling us up to. Calling us to live where we are not dominated by anything of the world system. We live above it. Even if the whole world system collapses and we're living here, when it collapses and everything goes bad and haywire and there's trouble all over, you can still have all your needs met. You can still live in victory above all that stuff because God makes a way. God makes a way for his people if we will follow him, but if we'll let our minds be transformed. So that's my challenge to us tonight. Will we let ourselves step up? But it'll take work. It means you got to be willing to give up the way you think. It means you've got to be, means you got to think. We've been studying that in Sunday school. It means you got to think. When stuff comes your way, you got to think about it. You can't just, oh, well, there that is again, and just accept it or whatever. You got to think. You got to say, no. Now, this doesn't have any right to dominate my life because Jesus is my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my helper. He's everything to me. He's my answer. And he's put me here to enforce and the things of the kingdom of God in my realm and in my life so I can change this situation through the power of God and through God's wisdom. I don't have to just be run over by this truck of circumstances. I can change things. But we got to be willing to let this get in us. We've got to be willing to give up the way we think now, the way we see things now, and make ourselves think this way. Choose to think this way. God says, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. Obviously, he knew there were a lot of people that wouldn't. So he had to tell us. Because you would think, with offered life or death, what bozo wouldn't choose life, you know? But there's lots of bozos. They don't choose life. They choose to go ahead and sin. They choose to do wrong things. They choose to do things contrary to the ways of God, and it just leads to death and destruction, just leads to trouble. They choose to do the wrong thing, but praise God, we can choose life. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand. Did you get anything out of that? We got to change. We got to grow. We got to develop. We got to be all that God's called us to be. And time's kind of running out on us, so we got a lot to do in a short amount of time. But all things are possible with God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, God, that when we were born again, that you gave us that initial shift. You moved us over into your kingdom. You brought our spirit man into your kingdom, set us there with Jesus at your right hand in heavenly places so that we can rule and reign with him. And you made us to be kings and priests unto you. You made us the righteousness of God in Jesus. You've equipped us and given us everything we need. But we got to renew our minds and we've got to change. So, Father, we want to. We want to change. So in those areas where we're a little weak and maybe where we're just haven't developed our discipline yet to get into your word and to begin to apply your word in our mind and get rid of those things out of our mind that's contrary to you, help us. Holy Spirit, help us. We're just so glad that you're with us, that you've come to help us do these things. You've come to help us be all that God has called us to be so that we can completely shift in our whole spirit, soul, and body. And live according to the will of God. Father, we thank you for these wonderful promises. I thank you for the people that you brought out tonight that are faithful to come and receive your word, receive the life of Jesus, and are just saying by being here, they want to change. They want to grow. They want to be like Jesus. They want to be different. They want to live the impossible life that's possible in you. And Father, we praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.